So it's quite a privilege to be reading alongside my fellow graduates. I'd like to thank the Talented Writers Hall. So this first piece is called Contessa's Diesel Phone. She hadn't switched her plan since before her husband died. He was a trooper, a patriot, she never hesitated to remind us. She embarrassed us girls, waiting in line at the Palace Theater for Temptations tickets, in the middle of omelets at Bob Evans, or shopping for birdhouses at Lowe's. It was always the same. The phone would toll, and she'd dig through her purse, and out it would come, an unfashionable chunk of steel tubing and garish buttons. The exhaust would send strangers, neighbors, customers copying into other aisles, the awful, stinking black cloud puking into the air. Loyal friends all, we pretended not to notice. Nothing would convince her to switch to ethanol or solar. She coughed black phlegm into her tissue, always ready with the tissue, and shook her highlighted head. An important call one of these days, she claimed. Wait and see. They only have this phone's number. If I switch, they'll never call me. We held our breath each time her phone rang, hoping, but mostly to avoid the fumes. This next one here is called Art School Contention Number 6. The structural drawing professor was best known for his charcoal panoramas of trees. The oil painting professor for his miniature portraits. The gallery owner called the structural drawing professor's work Big Gems, and the oil painting professor's work Little Gems. At the gallery's most recent opening, the two professors were offended when an art lover pointed in their direction and claimed the oil painting professor a master of the Big Gem and the structural drawing professor a dabbler in Little Gems. Both men swore off gems altogether and spent the rest of their days simply as professors. The next one's called I Purchased a Fake Raven Because It Was on Discount After Halloween. For less than $3, it entered a bag and went home with me. Black plastic feathers, offensive to the touch, its wire legs attached to more wires, attached to a plywood podium of sorts. The eyes were red, in the spirit of the holiday, I assumed, but in fact I had no idea if real ravens had red eyes. I sat the fake raven on my coffee table beside the ashtray. I observed him from the couch. I named him Hugo for no good reason. But Hugo was just tall enough to block the TV, so I switched him with the ashtray, but the ashtray looked out of place, so I took Hugo off the coffee table, replaced the ashtray, and went to the kitchen. I set him on top of the cabinet above the sink, but I didn't want him staring at me when I cooked, and I didn't want him becoming part of the spider webs up there, so I sat him on the bookshelf in my bedroom, but he wasn't sturdy enough to serve as a bookend, and next to the Poe he seemed a bit too cliche, so I moved him to the end table by the bed, but he frightened me in the middle of the night. So I put him on top of the TV, but he kept falling down and shedding feathers. So I shrugged and scratched my head a bit and decided to put him next to the Charmin on the back of the toilet. Hugo's black clashed nicely with the white of his new perch, at least for a while. Friends complained he was staring at their unmentionables, and his beak scraped their backs when they dismounted the toilet. I cursed my friends, but agreed with them at the same time while scratching the scabs on my back. I tried to return Hugo to the store, but they wouldn't have him. Discount sales, it turns out, are final. He stared at me from the passenger seat, red eyes almost glinting, beak almost a sneer, all the way home. This next one is a piece of flash fiction about World of Warcraft. Leveling up. He wondered if life might improve, were his successes as permanent as his failures. His promotion 5 years ago as measurable, as numeric, as his trouble with vodka. Like his alter ego, a level 20 orc warrior, he wanted to level up, to keep his gains and erase his losses. Certainly, in spite of his current unemployment, he was by now a level 10 office manager, and merely a level 5 alcoholic. Art school contention number one. He wanted to date the girl who worked study at the library, but she wanted to date the new model who liked to wipe the sweat off of his body with his t-shirt. But he was in love with the guy who drew photorealistic drawings of his penis. But he was in love with his photorealistic drawings of penises, which he framed and later sold to the girl who worked study at the library, and to the new model, and to the guy who wanted to date the girl who worked study at the library. So while none of them could find love, they did easily find a space in their apartments for framed photorealistic drawings of the new model's penis. And one last one. The unfortunate party. Silence. The salsa is warm, untouched. At halftime, she responds to a tampon commercial with a quick joke. But from the other side of the living room, he responds to the tampon commercial with his own, similar joke. The jokes collide. Two well-intentioned pretzels crumbled on the carpet, canceled out. Thank you.